sign up.
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. More than healthcare coverage, it's a better experience. Visit FBHP.com to learn more. Mike Keith and Amy Wells with you as we prepare for Titans Chiefs Sunday Night Football, 7:20 Central Time kick. Amy Wells and Red Bryan with Titans Countdown on any of the 50 Titans radio stations around the world, actually, beginning at 6 o'clock Central Time.
I like that. Worldwide.
Ironic, second consecutive game on the road played in Central Time.
Really?
Almost,
oh, you're right.
Almost never happens with the Titans.
Yeah, it's always Eastern.
In many of the years, our only Central Time game is Houston.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I've never really thought about it. The one that really messes that up is Indianapolis.
Right.
Because it's not that far away. Feels like it should be in the same time zone. Confusing that it's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. It confuses a lot of people.
I love the Central Time Zone games, though.
I love Central Time anyway.
Yeah, just in general. I think it's the greatest of the time zones.
It is the finest of the time zones. Isn't this the weekend we fall back to?
Oh, good.
The extra hour of sleep?
I need some sunlight in the mornings. I can't get out of bed.
It's a little dark.
Yeah, it's too dark. My brain thinks it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's actually 5:30. I need to get up. My brain says no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spent the whole week talking about Derrick Henry, haven't we?
As we should. He deserves
Sixth 200-yard rushing performance, matching O.J. Simpson and Adrian Peterson, all of whom we've actually seen in calendar 2022, all three.
I was just about to say that. We've seen all three of them recently.
We saw O.J. Simpson when we were in Buffalo in September in a restaurant.
Mike Keith, was that one of the cooler experiences you've had at dinner?
No, I would not say cool. I
thought it was like a shocking experience.
Well, it was bizarro, yes.
Yeah.
To see...
just there.
OJ walking down the stairs, it was very strange.
He's one of those people that you never think you'll encounter just in the world.
Well, you hope not.
Not in that way. I was just saying in general. He's one of those people that's such a larger-than-life name, you never think you'd just... bump into him at a restaurant, and yet we did.
Well, what's really confusing about him, of course, in a lot of standpoints, is he's still one of the greatest running backs to ever play in the NFL. He still has a lot of marks that are at the top of the charts. He's still in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's still in the Buffalo Bills Wall of Honor or whatever it is. And you can't ignore his accomplishments when you talk about football. The other stuff for which he's infamous certainly makes him a very different figure. But seeing him in Buffalo that night was bizarre. And, of course, Adrian Peterson was on our team towards the last part of last season.
He sure was.
Yes. And then Derrick Henry is the man.
And is around every day.
The thing that I don't think gets enough attention about the game last week is what Dontrell Hilliard did.
He had a great game.
8 carries, 83 yards.
Yeah.
And what a revelation he has been since he came on here.
He's been such a great addition to this offense because, listen, you want to give the ball to Derrick Henry 500 times. I get it. That is not realistic. And having another person who can be productive, who has such a different skill set than what Derrick has, it gives the Titans run game so much variety. And I think that that's such an asset. And that's just in one phase.
Right.
He's also able to do so many other things to contribute to the Titans offense. But I've been so pleased with him and the way that he's continued to show up more and more every single game. It's been fun to watch.
Well, the interesting part in discussing with Titans fans is so many of them have said to me, boy, I wish we had Deontay Foreman back too. And I get that. I'm not sure how that would work because you can't carry like 8 running backs.
Right. You sure can't.
But the other part of it, too, is Deontay got a chance to go to Carolina. They gave him $940,000 to sign. And then he got, like, the veteran minimum of $1.035 for the season. And then he got another $25,000 workout bonus. And so he's going to end up making for this year with the Carolina Panthers $2 million. And you say, well, why couldn't the Titans have afforded that? It's like, well, as you've seen over the past few weeks, and as became apparent during the course leading up to the trade deadline, the bottom line is the Titans' money was so tight they could get Hilliard and could draft Hassan Haskins for what Deontay Foreman would cost. And so they had to make moves like that. Because you're hoping that if you have Derrick Henry, Deontay Foreman's not going to play. And you don't want to have a guy making $2 million to not play.
Right.
At a position where you're already paying a guy, what, $12 million or something like that. The other part of it, too, is Hilliard has special teams possibilities and has kind of become the third down back. So I was happy for Deontay to get to go and make that money, because here's a guy who had to fight his way back in the league. He was in, and then he was out for, what, 3 years almost? Good for him going to make that money. Good for him rushing for 118 last week against the Falcons and getting a chance to play with Chuba Hubbard out. And I'm happy for him. He earned that opportunity. Still kind of look at him as one of ours because of what he did for the Titans. But it's just those decisions. And this is the hard part of all of it, is you can't keep everybody.
You can't keep everybody. There are so many decisions that when you look at it, like, sure, we want to have him on our team. He's a great player. Yeah, but you want to have all the good players on your team.
Sure.
You cannot pay all of the good players.
No.
You can't pay every person to stay on your team. And you've got to make sure that when you've got a guy, to your point, they have to be able to contribute in multiple places. Otherwise, it's not a good investment unless it's some of these major mega $1 million contributors. Like, do we want Derrick Henry playing on special teams? No. But
not at all.
No. But you need people to play on special teams, and you need people who can contribute in that phase of the game. So you want to make sure that you're also investing in people who can do both. You can't keep all the good players. You want every player on your team to be a Derrick Henry, and I get it. They just can't be. So let's cheer for the guy who's getting an opportunity who we all really like.
Yeah. I mean, great for him. Mm-hmm. He, like I said, did a wonderful job, fought his way back to the NFL, and he'll keep a job.
Yeah.
He's going to – I don't know if it'll be in Carolina or if it'll be somewhere else, but somebody's going to want Deontay Foreman. He also plays a position where there is more supply than demand.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's running backs as a whole.
What running backs as a whole? I mean, how many teams pay a running back?
Very few.
I think they're 8.
Yeah.
And then the other 24 just don't. They have a rotation of, like, an older guy who gets paid, and then a middle guy who gets paid, and then somebody on the first contract, and they rotate them all.
Yep. Yeah. It is unusual to have a main running back like the Tennessee Titans have and have invested that much.
Right. Right. It's unusual that you pay a guy. You may draft a guy, and then he plays for you for 3, 4, 5 years, and then he's gone, and then you draft another guy or you sign a guy. But the Titans have made the decision, I think rightly, to pay the running back.
Yep.
Now, when you pay the running back, that's taking up dough that, again, most other teams don't spend. Most other teams don't spend the amount of money on their entire running back core as the Titans spend on Derrick. But, again, to the point, if you have Derrick,
you pay the man.
You pay the man.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue that paying Derrick Henry was the right choice.
Well, but I don't think, Amy, I don't think people realize that when you make that choice, you eliminate another choice somewhere.
Yeah, it's hard when you're not in the thick of the business of the NFL,
right,
to wrap your mind around a finite amount of money. Now, it's a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's numbers that none of us will see in our lifetime of money. But there's still an end point. There's a cutoff there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to go, well, I mean, just pay the guy. Like, okay, where's that coming from?
Well, you can't pay all the guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, is in my mind and in the mind of John Robinson, paying Derrick Henry was absolutely the right choice because you have built around him. But that probably means you're not going to be a 5-wide, open it up. That's not what the rest of your offensive roster is going to be built for, due to the fact that you've made this judgment. It's also why when you get to the point that you've paid Taylor Lewan and you've paid Ben Jones and you've traded for Robert Woods, who you had to pay, and you're paying Derrick Henry, and you bring in Austin Hooper, who you're paying some pretty good money, when you get into these situations, then you're tight. And on defense, I mean, there's several guys who are making really good money on defense. So they had freed up enough money, they felt like, to get them through this season, which is generally a $5 to $6 million cushion. And yet, because of all the injuries they've had and the veterans they've had to bring in, that money has been chipped away already. Now, I think they've got enough to get through the rest of the year unless they have calamities. But otherwise, you're just going to be playing guys who are just guys.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the best available replacements that they could go out and get. And so that's why they didn't make a trade this week.
Because you have to pay that person you're trading for.
Well, you do. And so you've got to have the room. There is at no point. The thing to remember about the salary cap is when the salary cap kicks in March 15th or March 16th, whatever the date is annually, that is the beginning of the fiscal year. At that moment, you have to be under the salary cap.
Correct.
At that moment until the end of the season, you must be under the salary cap. You can't float a couple of dollars or, you know, things like this. There are no exceptions. And so if they get in a situation where they have to come up with some more money, they'll have to cut somebody for the weekend in order to come up with the money to bring somebody up to play another position.
Let me ask a potentially stupid question. What's the penalty if day one of the fiscal year comes and you're not under the cap?
That's a good question. It's always been, I don't know if it's written somewhere, but here's how it was always told to me, that it's $1 million a day.
$1 million a day?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was told.
Well, the league?
I guess. Is that a wives' tale? Is that a, but I mean, it's certainly a substantial penalty. You can't do that, you know, and so, you know, John Robinson's even having to stare at next year.
Right.
And I think there is a decent chance that this offseason upcoming might be his most busy since his first year that he got here.
Just because of the moves that he's going to have to make.
Because he's got to look at the cap, he's got to make decisions about the future, and he's got some significant free agents to be. And then, obviously, Simmons is another factor in all of this too, and he's not a free agent. He has a contract for 2023, but you know, there's going to be certainly discussion about that, and probably some other guys. There will probably be some other people, like what he did with Amani Hooker, who he will want to go ahead and extend. But if he had made some sort of move on Monday to redo someone's contract to gain cap room in order to make a trade, then he would have been pushing more of that money off into the future. And that's probably not the best thing to do, especially when you know that you have players that you're already paying who are having the ability to come back from IR. Elijah Molden this week.
Right, right.
A huge return to get with Amani Hooker certainly being in doubt for this Sunday. Then you have Elijah Molden, who, you know, potentially, if he can be good enough to be activated, he could be a huge lift against Kansas City. You're going to get some receivers back. You potentially can get a couple more guys on defense back at some point. Those are going to be the trade/free agents that you potentially get are your own people coming back from injury.
There's so many moving parts to an NFL roster.
Sure.
So many moving parts. It always blows my mind, especially this time of year when you've got the injuries and you've got so many things.
The OT people understand this because they've heard us discuss some of this before. And I hope you're not, you know, blue in the face, because I had somebody say to me not long ago, well, what about Deontay Foreman? Why didn't they bring Deontay Foreman back? Well, I sort of explained the whole scenario. I'm like, well, you've got Derrick Henry, and you could bring back Dontrell, and you knew you were going to draft one, and you drafted Hassan, and you felt good about him, and you got Chestnut, who's on the practice squad, who you're developing. You also carry a fullback. Not every team carries a fullback.
True.
You know, all of these things sort of fit together, and you could just tell the person I was speaking with was just completely glazed over by the time I got to, like, they're like, I just wanted Deontay Foreman back. I didn't want an explanation.
Well, where were you? Are you in, like, the checkout line at the grocery store when
something
this is happening?
Something like that, yeah. But the whole thing was that I get you want him back.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have everybody back.
There's an explanation as to why. It's not just an arbitrary, we got rid of him. There's a reason why.
Well, it's like a couple that, like Jack Doyle. You got all upset when they when they cut Jack Doyle, the tight end from Western Kentucky, and then they were going to bring Jack back to the practice squad, and he got claimed by the Colts, and he went on and became a really good player for the Colts.
Really upsetting to me.
Well,
still.
But they did that. Because they needed, there was another spot where they needed somebody for the active 53 roster for that week's game.
Yes, I know.
The same thing with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have any linebackers. And LeGarrette Blount didn't know how to pass protect. There was no way he was playing in the game. So they're like, yeah, we'll, you know, we'll sneak him through.
Hide him over here.
We'll get him through, get him on practice squad, and another week later we'll bring him back. It's not like they cut him, they walked up to him with, you're terrible. Let me just tell you right now, buddy. You're terrible. You're out.
No.
They were doing that because, and that was actually how we got Patrick Bailey and Tim Shaw.
Yeah.
We brought them in to cover kicks, and LeGarrette Blount was, you know, the guy that they, I mean, it was like at the last minute at like 2:59, they're like, LeGarrette Blount is the other guy we're waving to, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because they, and of course, Tampa immediately went, boom.
Yep, snatched him.
And LeGarrette played against us. Like we'd stolen his Halloween candy. I mean, he was
mad,
sure. And, yeah. And I get it. But, I mean, all of these moves are so complicated because you have short-term goals and you have long-term goals. The thing that John does that I think is probably the best thing that he does is he stays with it even he keeps the focus always on what it is. Okay, they took a swing at Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. And you see what's happening in Tampa with Julio can still play if he can play.
Right. He's not 100% ever.
No. But when he's out there, he does a great job. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was for going and getting Julio Jones. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But guess who they're going to be paying for on next year's cap again?
Julio Jones.
They took a swing.
Yeah.
Would you rather take a swing or no?
You can't. What is it? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You can't win if you don't play.
There you go.
But the bottom line is you can't play every day.
No, you can't.
And so at a certain point, you have to say, you know what? I'm just going to hold them.
Yeah.
And that's what the Titans did this time around is they said, we're just going to hold them because we understand that we have some guys coming back and we have things that we need to do for the future. And so right now we're just going to hold him. The swings, I mean, I'm all for it. When he has taken swings, I have been excited. I was as excited as anybody when they traded for Julio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he just couldn't play in enough games.
Yeah. There wasn't anything wrong with him. He just
couldn't
play.
No,
well, he was injured.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been in Tampa, unfortunately.
Right.
I think that's where he is at this point in his career.
Yeah. But you're right. You can't get in the ring for every single fight. You just can't do it.
Speaking of getting in the ring for every single fight, and I wish Coach was here to talk about this. So I was playing with some of the Patrick Mahomes numbers.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes may end up being the greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Whoa, bold words from Mike Key.
It may happen.
Don't you think people are going to get a little angry at you over this statement?
I said he may.
I'm just saying. There are some people
What part
who,
of it?
Well, greatest of all time.
Might end up being.
Okay.
Not saying he is.
Continue with your numbers.
Well, that's what's so amazing about him is Tom Brady didn't throw for 4,000 yards until his fifth year as a starter. Patrick Mahomes has done it every year as a starter.
Mm.
Patrick Mahomes' career passer rating is over 106. His touchdown to interception ratio is over 4-1. Tom Brady's touchdown to interception ratio is basically 3-1. Peyton Manning, for example, his is like 2.4-1, which is still good. I mean, golly, I mean, you talk about the greatest quarterbacks ever, but if you study him statistically, I mean, they've won the division 6 straight years. They're going on 7. They've gone to the AFC Championship game 4 straight years. It's scary. And then the rushing part of it.
Yeah.
Which Joe Montana didn't have, Tom Brady doesn't have, Peyton Manning doesn't have. I mean, this guy, he doesn't run a lot, but boy, he can when he needs to.
Interesting.
Which makes him vastly different. But so I'm looking at his numbers just preparing for Sunday night's broadcast, and we've seen him a bunch. I mean, we know. We did the preseason game where he started the first time, which was crazy. Where they put him in the final preseason game and they let him play the whole game.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Ruh-roh.
Well, you're like, this isn't normal. Yeah. You know, just because of what was happening. But they gave him the red shirt year, and it made all the difference in the world in him. And then in year two, he came out, and he's just been setting the world on fire. But you're looking at these numbers, and you're saying, these are extraordinary. And then you extrapolate him over a period of time. Now, can he do it for the number? I mean, Peyton Manning, over an 18-season span, he played 17 seasons. And then, obviously, Tom Brady is 45 years old, which is remarkable. Do I think Patrick Mahomes could play till he's 40? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he does, I mean, a lot of what he does is otherworldly. This year, he's thrown 20 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions in a year where passing numbers are down.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's incredible. His style of play is still so different from everyone else that you see in the league. The way that he's able to move and the way that he's able to read. I was talking to Mac about this earlier. The way that he's able to see defenses is a little bit different than everybody because he can process it so quickly and just make things happen within what their offense is doing. He is a really fun guy to watch. I mean, when he's not playing against the Tennessee Titans, I enjoy watching him play because I like to watch him move like that.
Makes it even more impressive what the Titans did against him last year on October 24th.
Absolutely.
Because that's been done 3 times since he's been in the league, maybe 4 times, which is remarkable.
Yep.
What he has is he's 6'3", 230, so he is still the prototype quarterback size that everybody wanted in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. So he's still tall. A lot of these guys that you see doing a lot of these run-type things are not very tall. Baker Mayfield comes in the league, he's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyler Murray's 5'10", maybe.
On a tall day.
Yeah, on a tall day.
He's 6'3", and he moves like he's 5'10".
Well, that's it. He's a pocket quarterback who moves like somebody who is not that type of player. He's like John Elway was.
Yeah.
John Elway was the same type of player. He had the big body, the pocket, the arm, the whole thing to do it, you know, in a traditional way, and yet could move, throw against his body, throw sideways, throw not looking. I mean, it's a challenge.
Well, yeah, but it's exciting when you say numbers like that and think about the long-term legacy that he could leave. It's exciting to be playing against him at so many different parts of his career.
And it's exciting to have Derrick Henry against him. So because what Derrick is doing right now, and we talked about this at this time last year, Derrick was on a pace before the injury last year that he was doing something that had never been done before in the game.
Yep, historic.
Right. Jim Brown, Eric Dickerson, Adrian Peterson, O.J. Simpson, whomever you want, Tony Dorsett, whomever you want to throw out, he was on a pace that had never been matched, and then it all ended because of an injury. And yet, he has come back and amazingly, almost 1 year to the day, has reignited in the same way as what he was doing. There's nobody who questions, well, will he ever be the same? Have you heard that lately?
Nope. Nope. I haven't heard that since, I mean, December of 2021.
Well, you heard it. I heard it some in September,
really?
You know, because he didn't really run well in the Giants game. He did not have a good game for him. He missed some stuff.
Derrick Henry revs up around week 4.
Well, that's true. And then in the Buffalo game, he ran hard, but there was nothing there.
Right.
And then it started. And it started because Todd Downing also fed him the football in the passing game.
Yes.
And so for us to get to watch him, for us to get to call the franchise record touchdown, for us to have a chance to be there for all of these numbers, it's like the Patrick Mahomes thing. I mean, you're talking about he is tracking towards being a Hall of Fame player.
Awesome.
Now,
he isn't today right now.
He is statistically, you know, it would be a jump at this point because he's at about 7,500 yards, But his 4 years right here, and this is what Terrell Davis did too. Terrell Davis carved out a period, and this is how backs are judged. It's a very special 4 year period. If this can continue for this year and one more, I think you have to seriously get into that conversation. The same way if Mahomes keeps going, I think there are serious conversations to be had, which is part of the fun of just being a sports fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I wish I was better with numbers. I could play ball better in those conversations, but I enjoy.
But you know what you see.
I enjoy my two cents, adding it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't roll around in the statistics the way you do. You really get down and dirty in there, and I'm more of a watcher. Because you're a numbers man.
Well, I do like numbers, but I also feel the necessity to, and you know who does a great job with this for us is Dwight Spradlin, our media relations office, and so does the guy who runs that office, Robbie Boren. I think if you're fortunate enough to get to track history, then you should try to keep up with its perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You should try to be able to say, okay, you'd be able to make the case at a moment's notice why this is so outstanding. And that's how I feel about getting to watch Derek right now, and what a pleasure that is.
I'm more of a paint a picture kind of girl.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just paint the picture of what I'm seeing.
Speaking of stats, we lost a Hall of Famer earlier this week, Ray Guy. And you don't have any idea who Ray Guy is, do you?
No.
Because you're young.
But that's okay. I am young.
But that's okay. According to Kay Adams, you're young.
Yes, she calls
me
young
and up and coming. By the way, before I jump into this, tell me about being on Kay Adams' show. Is it on FanDuel?
FanDuel TV.
And so you and Kay went to Missouri together.
Kay and I went to Missouri together, and also Matt Hamilton, who's her producer, and he's on that show pretty frequently. He did some stuff on Good Morning Football before she left. Matt Hamilton was a graduate assistant for the football team when I worked for Mizzou's football team, logging tape for hours on end. And so he and I have just known each other for a million years now. And he reached out and said, hey, with Titans and Chiefs coming up, we'd love to have you on to talk about it. And it was great. It was awesome. It was a Zoom interview, which I haven't done in a while. So I like forgot what to do with my eyes and my hands. And, you know, it's been a minute since we've been in the Zoom world.
Now, can somebody watch this back?
I've seen it a bunch on the Twitter machine.
Okay.
It's Up and Adams is the show.
Up and Adams.
Isn't that clever?
It is clever. But well, she's very clever.
She's very clever.
Very talented.
She is. Incredibly talented. She's doing a bunch of new stuff. And
she's still on People TV?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
And she's got a Sporting Good ad. She's got a national television ad.
Everywhere you look, there's Kay Adams. Up and Adams. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm very appreciative of them thinking of me.
You did very well.
And we got to talk about Mizzou things and the J School and good pizza.
I'm sure that interested a lot of people.
Hey, Mizzou has the best pizza. It's Shakespeare's Pizza. I have it shipped in.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to send you that for Christmas this
That'll
year,
That'll be
Mike.
Great. I'm
sending you
that.
Shakespeare's pizza.
I'd love that.
I know you would. Carry on.
Okay. So I was talking about Ray Guy before you went down the rabbit hole of Columbia, Missouri.
Did I?
You kind of did.
Did I put us in this?
I was talking about Kay Adams.
Kay Adams went to Mizzou.
I understand, but you didn't have to go into the whole, we got to talk for 10 minutes about Columbia, Missouri.
It was on the TV, Mike.
I understand.
I'm not. You asked me how it was.
I asked you how it was. I didn't say, please tell me all about Columbia, Missouri.
No, you. If you don't want to hear that, you don't want to hear about my experience.
I didn't.
So you just decide what you want to hear on this show.
So a guy who changed the game, talking about Hall of Famers.
You
know, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry and the greats of today and what they can become. Ray Guy was the first punter ever drafted in the first round. The Oakland Raiders drafted him number 23 overall in 1973, and he set the bar for punters.
Wow.
Do you know what the punter award is called in college football?
The Ray Guy Award?
It's the Ray Guy Award. It sure is. Ray Guy ended up punting for the Raiders 1973 through 1986. He averaged, and this is just really incredible, he averaged 42.4 per punt.
Wow.
And he had 128 touchbacks. Nobody ever thought anything at that time about trying to down a punt inside the 10-yard line. You kick toward the coffin corner. you aimed toward one sideline. And if you got it in, great. If it went into the end zone, oh boy, they started the 20. Who cares? Nobody thought about kicking one end over end and having a guy fair catch it at the 8-yard line. That was not done.
Huh.
So he would just kick it as far as he possibly could. So his statistics don't tell the story. He had an average hang time normally of over 5 seconds per punt. It was crazy.
Whoa.
And he was this great, incredibly revered figure, also because he was a crazy good athlete. There were many people who thought that he was the best athlete on the Raiders team, which was phenomenal considering how good those Raiders teams were.
Wow.
So he passed away, would have been 73 years old on this upcoming December the 22nd, and inspired an entire generation of punters. When you were my age coming up, the guy you wanted to emulate was Ray Guy. He was the best, and he sort of changed the view of all special teams, because for a lot of years, people used as their punter somebody who was already on the team.
Just whoever could kick it.
Right. I mean, even as far as the Cowboys, just before you became a Cowboys fan, before you were born, their punter was Danny White, who was their quarterback.
Interesting.
And that was done, you know, some teams had regular punters, and then some teams would just use a guy, and then some teams had punter place kickers. They did both. I was watching the Dallas-San Francisco game where the catch happened with Joe Montana to Dwight Clark. Joe Montana could not celebrate the touchdown because he had to go hold for the extra point. Because the quarterback held for the extra point, or the backup quarterback held for the extra point.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but I was looking and I was thinking about how the game has changed, and I was looking at our friend Brett Kern. Brett Kern's career average, 45.9, 40.5 net.
Wow.
So that shows you how far. Now, if Ray Guy were kicking today with the style that's used today, his numbers would be vast. Just, and any of these guys would take, Brett Kern would tell you, Ray Guy would be maybe the best punter today. The numbers are hard to believe how far they've come, because a 42.4 average in 1980 was considered
crazy,
otherworldly.
Yeah.
And now the Titans have a punter who is averaging on 35 punts. Ryan Stonehouse is averaging 54 yards per punt. 54.
It's wild. It's wild.
He's averaging 45.7 net. So he's had 3 touchbacks, and he's had 23 punts returned for a total of 230 yards. The 230 yards, return yards, and then 20 yards each for the 3 touchbacks, or 60 yards. That amount comes out of his gross and forms his net. But that's 35 punts now. It's not like he's punted 4 times.
No, my man's got a cannon for a leg.
But if you look at Ray Guy, and this is what is so remarkable. So Brett Kern, 6'2", 214.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent-sized athlete.
Yeah.
Ray Guy listed 6'3", 195. Big, long guy. And he could, when he brought his right leg forward with his follow-through, he could bang his knee off his face mask. That's how flexible he was. So he would come through with the follow-through, and he could hit his knee on his face mask.
Whoa.
Ryan Stonehouse is 5'10", 193.
Yeah, he's substantially shorter than 6'3".
He's not even a big – he wouldn't even be a big kicker.
No.
Let alone a big punter. When you join the new Dunkin' Rewards program, you could start saving and stacking your way to free Dunkin'. Then use your points on things like free donuts for the staff who works on the OTP. Maybe you can give them to them.
Because I will.
You're wasting so much time with stuff they have to take out. Or use them on free coffee. Praise for people, for the boss. Walk in and hand the boss coffee and say, hey, have some coffee. Or your spouse or a neighbor or pretty much anyone else. Or use your rewards points on breakfast sandwiches. I love the breakfast sandwiches. Sometimes I eat them for lunch.
Yeah.
Dunkin' Rewards. I'm a member. You should be too. Save them, stack them, use them however you want. America runs on Dunkin'. Terms apply. They have cookie foam now.
What?
Now that we're to the holidays.
Ugh.
It's like cookie bite foam.
I'll tell you what. holiday coffee flavors are the great, it's the greatest time of the year for coffee flavors.
And they've got, and Dunkin' has so many different things, the peppermint mocha latte, and you walk in there and you smell it.
Yeah.
Even if you're just a coffee person like I am, you're like, I think I want that.
I like pumpkin things. I'm not obsessed with pumpkin. Peppermint is my favorite.
Is it?
Peppermint chocolate, peppermint coffee, peppermint candy.
What does
cookies.
Kay Adams think of that?
I don't know. I didn't ask her. We talked about pizza.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing like going on national TV and talking about something the two of you are the only ones interested in.
She said.
But it's her show. I mean, she's
watch.
Real famous, so
yeah. I mean,
she can do whatever
shoot.
She wants.
She said, "What is your favorite place to eat in Columbia? Go." And I said,
"Columbia, Tennessee,
pizza. Columbia, Missouri."
Oh,
because we.
But see, wouldn't it be more applicable because you live here now?
I've never eaten in Columbia, Tennessee.
Yes, you have.
What did I eat?
You had stuff when we went with Farm Bureau to the OTP.
That's true.
Tour.
I have eaten there. I take it back.
I went and got you ice
you
cream.
You did get me ice cream
at the creamery.
Yep. I had three different types of ice cream.
I brought
cream.
You three different
yep.
types of ice cream to try on the OTP. So
that's
don't
true.
Say you've never had anything from Columbia.
That's true. I take it all back. I've eaten many things, actually. I ate all the things in Columbia,
yeah,
Tennessee.
The big thing she did is I got the pints. She didn't share.
Hell no. I took those home. No. I ate every single one of them in its entirety.
So
I shared with no one.
We are going back to your home state. Are you going to be visiting with any relatives or?
I am. Friends and family.
Friends and family.
They'll all be around.
Now, how far is Columbia from Kansas City?
Well, thank you for asking. If you too would like some Shakespeare's pizza. 2 hours.
2 hours.
Door to door, it's 2 hours from my parents' house to Arrowhead
Stadium.
So
Hassan Haskins is from St. Louis. So how far is his family? 4 or 5?
4 hours. You could probably do it in like 3:45 if you really wanted
Dylan
to.
Dylan Cole is from St. Joseph's, Missouri.
St. Joe is very close. That's where the Chiefs host training camp in St. Joe Mo.
St. Joe Mo?
St. Joe Mo. It's just north of Kansas City. I'd say 45-ish minutes.
And then a lot of the Chiefs fans are from Kansas, right?
Yeah, we don't talk to them. I'm just kidding.
Are you?
No, I'm not really.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Kansas City, for those of
because
you
because there
who,
is a Kansas City, Kansas.
There is Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. Like Overland Park is in Kansas, but
right.
it's a suburb of
Shawnee
Kansas
Mission.
City. Also in Kansas.
We're looking forward to seeing Titans fans. We know that you will make it. We're looking forward to being part of Sunday Night Football. We're looking forward to the overall matchup, 5-2 against 5-2. It's going to be very exciting. So if you are part of the OT people that will be there, come say hello. We would love to see you.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun because being on national television is a big deal for the Tennessee Titans.
I like playing in that stadium. It's very loud and very fun.
GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
I will not be saying that.
That's how it's for. I called them. Because I wasn't sure
yeah.
if it was, you know, Geeha.
Yeah.
It's not. It's GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Apparently that's an insurance company, I'm told.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We Googled it.
I think that's
it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It's fine, and I understand sponsorship, and
I
understand.
We respect sponsorship.
Yeah.
Let's make sure.
I am all in. I totally get it, but they ain't
that's
sponsoring
hard to say.
Me, so I'm
it
not saying
it. It is hard
it.
To say.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
It is.
It's not very broadcaster friendly.
It will probably not be said a lot on our broadcast, but you know what will? Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Yes, as it should be.
As it should
Farm
be.
Farm Bureau Health Plans is very easy to say.
It's very easy to say, and they're in Columbia, Tennessee.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yes, and you've been to Columbia, Tennessee because of them, as a matter of fact.
Sure have.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun.
We love them.
We
Farm
do.
Bureau Health Plan, sponsor of the OTP. And we thank you for being a part of it. And go to FBHP.com to learn more about Farm Bureau Health Plans. I'm a member.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
Way to have that insurance.
Thank you. Need it.
Well, yeah. You never know.
Get to a certain age.
Well, not even that. I wasn't implying that like the end is near.
You kind of were.
No, I was just saying to be safe.
There you go. All right.
It's
well, that's going to do it for this edition of the OTP for Amy Wells. I'm Mike Keith. Thanks for joining us on the OTP.